Welcome to the podcast of Radius Church. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
Out of your gourd. There's a couple. All right, you need to get into counseling, right? Okay. You know, I think all of us would say, hey, I like to have fun. Fun makes life enjoyable, right? Fun also makes marriage enjoyable. And this morning we are in week 3 of our marriage series called From This Day Forward. And today we're going to talk about having fun in marriage. Two people are excited about that. We really need this message today, all right? But no, we've been talking the past few weeks about marriage, and we're looking at the 5 commitments that we need to make to fail-proof our marriage. I want to welcome everyone here, our in-house church family, also our online church family. It's good to have you with us. And today, we're talking about having fun in marriage. For those who've missed the past few weeks, and oh, by the way, I just need to say, today's message is rated PG-13, okay? So if you have your kids in the house, and elementary school age, you might want to get them up to Radius Church right now. If your kids are in the room and they're little kids online, you know, maybe you want to just, hey, let's go play. Let's go put on a video downstairs or something like that. Because we're going to be sharing some things. I've got 4 kids, all right? I like to have fun. Connect the dots, okay? But we're going to be talking about having fun. But if you've missed any of our weeks, I just want to kind of review really quickly to catch you up to speed. Week 1, remember what the first commitment was? Seek God. That's right. We talked about seeking God. We need to seek the one as we pursue our 2. And we need to seek our 1 with our 2. With our spouse, we need to pursue it. And if we are single, then what we need to do is we need to seek God first so that He prepares us for our 2. That was what we talked about in week 1. Pastor Zach did a great job at that message. Last week we talked about fighting fair. That's right. How do you fight fair? We said we need to stop and listen carefully. We need to, anyone remember the second one? No, you don't remember the second one. We need to stop and listen carefully. Then we need to speak, or guard our words faithfully, and then handle our anger righteously. Today, we're going to talk about having fun in marriage. Next week, we're going to talk about staying pure. And then the last week, we're going to wrap it up talking about how to never, ever give up on your marriage. Now, having fun in marriage sounds like a good idea, but there's a lot of people that don't think marriage is fun. I found a couple of these quotes online. I just wanted to share it with you. One says, a man doesn't know what happiness is until he gets married. And by then, it's way too late to do anything about it. Ooh. Now, ladies, if you feel that's a low blow, I've got one for the guys here, all right? All right, if a man says his wife can't take a joke, he needs to remember that she married him and took a really big joke. You see, well, we even think we're fair, we're fighting fair here. But no, you know, that's how some people view marriage. And all too often, couples start out having fun dating. They have fun dating. But then when they get married, they stop having fun. And as a result, it's not fun any longer, and they go looking for fun somewhere else. I submit to you that God wants us to have fun in our marriages, to enjoy one another. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 9, it says, live happily with the woman you love through all the meaningless days of life that God has given you under the sun. In other words, there's a lot of days we're going to get up, just go to work, spend the whole day, come home, you're tired. And in the process of that, enjoy your wife. Live happily with the woman that you love. It goes on to say, the wife God gives you is your reward for all your earthly toil. Guys, look at your wife and say, you're a reward. All right? She's your reward. That's what God says. I love how the NIV puts it. It says, enjoy life with your wife whom you love. That's what God wants us to do, enjoy life with our wife and our husband whom we love. He wants us to have fun. When you don't have fun in your marriage, when there's no adventure, no romance, there's no passion, no fun, no excitement, you reduce your communication to a business partnership. That's what you do. It's like two roommates living under the same roof who are trying to accomplish different things. And it's like, tell you what, I'll take this, you take that, I'll cover this, you cover that. And you're just working out a business arrangement when you eliminate fun from your marriage. In your notes this morning, I want you to write this down. People don't fall in love having a bad time. Isn't that true? People don't fall in love having a bad time. How often does someone marry someone that they hate being around? Have you ever heard a girl say, oh, he's so wonderful. We have absolutely nothing in common. We just sit around, do nothing, say nothing. It's so boring. I love him so much. No, you don't hear that. What do you hear? Oh, we've got so much in common. It's so much fun to be with him. And that's why we get married. Most likely you had fun with your spouse, and that was why you got together, because you enjoyed being with them. Rebecca and I, when we started dating, we had fun. We went roller skating. We went to plays together. We went bowling. We went and watched the submarine races at the lake. Some of you will catch that in just a little bit, okay? We had fun. We did things together. We continue to have fun in our marriage. God wants us to have fun. And so many times, guys pursue girls, and when they get married, they stop pursuing the woman they were after. Guys, we like to win. We like to achieve. We like to conquer. And so we graduate from college, or we get out of high school and we find our career. We get that nailed down, and then it's like, okay, I want a wife, I want a spouse. And so we pursue that girl that we've got the hots for. She's wonderful, we have fun with. But once we have conquered, once we have acquired, once we have won the woman, well, now I don't need to pursue her anymore. Now I'm going to pursue my career. Now I'm going to pursue that promotion. I'm going to pursue that additional degree. I want to pursue a new house, a new car. And we leave the pursuit of her behind. Guys, you need to be in hot pursuit of your wife. Oh, wow. That was a great place for an amen, ladies. Guys, you need to pursue your spouse. We need to pursue each other. We need to have fun in our marriages. Take a look in your notes. Having fun in marriage is not a luxury. It's a necessity. Having fun in marriage is not a luxury. It's a necessity. You might say, hey, we don't have time for fun. You know what I say? If you don't make time for fun, you may not have a marriage to have fun with. We need to make fun a necessity. And so today, I want to share with you three types of fun that every married couple needs to experience regularly. They're found in the book Song of Solomon, chapter 7. Some of you are groaning as soon as I said the word Song of Solomon, okay? It's a love story between King Solomon and a Shulamite girl who he marries, and they become husband and wife. We're going to take a look at it. And the first type of fun that we need to have in marriage, are you ready for this? Is face-to-face. We need face-to-face fun. This is where we get together and we enjoy each other's company face-to-face, where we're talking. We're looking at each other and we're talking. We're engaging in conversation. Dating couples talk and talk and talk. They talk for hours on end. I remember when my wife and I, Rebecca, when we were dating, we were in college, we got together the week before Thanksgiving, around just after New Year's. We decided to be a steady item, not going to see anyone else. And we came to the end of that year, and we still were dating. I was doing my summer internship in Grand Junction, Colorado, the western part of Colorado. She was going to work at a summer camp in Michigan. We are hundreds of miles apart. And realize this isn't the day when there's no cell phones. It's landlines, and there's no unlimited talk and text, okay? You've got to pay for every single minute you're on the phone. In fact, you would get these prepaid phone cards with minutes, and then you dialed in your number, and so that way you could talk. But when your card is up, so we wouldn't go broke, we made a budget. We says once a week on Saturday, that was kind of like the only day she had off for her camp, because you know how camp is, you've ever been to summer camp, and she was in the cooking staff, so they're working from morning until night. So Saturdays, for 1 hour, we would talk. And I tell you, we used every single minute of that hour. We did. But we wanted to talk some more, so we had to find another way to talk. So we reverted to an ancient form of communication. You may have heard of it. It's called letter writing. You heard of that before? And we wrote letters. I don't know how many letters we wrote. She still has the letters that I wrote her. I don't know if I have the letters that she wrote me, you know. But you see, you know why? Because to women, they value talking. That is one of their big emotional needs, one of their top needs. So they value talking. They need face-to-face time. We need to talk, and so many times when we're dating, it's blah, 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 blah. And once we get married, he's over here on the couch, she's over here on the sofa, or the love seat, whatever, and they're not loving, and they're just... You hear the crickets chirping. Actually, you probably hear, Mom, Dad, he hit me. Amen. Said from one of our young parents. After we get married, instead of talking about our dreams and our feelings and how we're doing, now we just talk about how are we going to cover everything we've got to cover. Okay, this week I'll get him to soccer on Monday and Wednesday. You'll do Tuesday and Thursday. You take her to dance. Oh, hey, honey, can you pick up a loaf of bread and some butter and a gallon of milk? We're out. You know, just pick it up on the way home from work. The oil in the car needs to be changed. Hey, the dishwasher broke down. We got to call the appliance man. Communication becomes reduced to a to-do list instead of intimate, close, heart-to-heart conversation. It's not face-to-face. And friends, we need to have face-to-face fun. I want you to take a look at Song of Solomon, chapter 7, verse 1. And the first few verses illustrate this face-to-face fun that Solomon and the Shulamite had. And this is Solomon talking, and he's going to compliment his wife, and he starts at her feet, and he's going to work up her entire body, complimenting her on how she looks. Look at what he says in verse 1. How beautiful are your feet in sandals, O prince's daughter. You're royalty, babe, okay? The curves of your hips are like jewels, the work of the hands of an artist. All right? An artist who like sculpts a diamond. That's what your hips look like. This guy's good, okay? He's good. He goes on to say, your navel is like a round goblet, which never lacks mixed wine. Honestly, I don't understand this part, but it probably worked for her, okay? Next, your belly is like a heap of wheat fenced about with lilies. Now, I don't know about you, but you know, if I say, Rebecca, your belly is like a heap of wheat, that doesn't sound like a compliment, okay? So I did a little bit of study into the Greek on this, and here's the thing. When it says, your belly is fenced about, that word fenced, it means to bundle. And so the picture is you've got a sheaf of wheat, and then you bundle it in the middle, you bind it up and you tie it. What does that do? That creates an hourglass figure. He's saying, honey, you got a great figure. Yeah. You got an hourglass. It's a heap, and it's encircled by lilies, fragrant. I mean, he is saying, man, you're beautiful. Ladies, how would you like your husband to talk to you like this? Only about four hands? Okay. All right, I guess you don't mind. So, a lot of you guys, you're off the hook, you know. It goes on to say, verse 3, your two breasts are like two fawns, twins of a gazelle. Your neck is like a tower of ivory. So it doesn't mean you got a big long neck like a giraffe. It just means your neck is slender, you've got a fair complexion. But it's also a reference back, just write this down in your notes, Solomon chapter 4, verse 4. Because he says to her again, he talks about her neck, he says, your neck is like the tower of David. On it hang 1,000 shields, all of them shields of warriors. So there was the soldiers had these shields of brass that they fought with. They were shiny, and they hung them on the Tower of David. So it's like she's wearing jewelry, and he's saying, your neck is ornamented, and you just take care of yourself to make yourself beautiful. He goes on to say, your eyes are like the pools in Heshbon by the gate of Bath-Rebim. Now, I don't know where this is, but when you think of pools of water, she probably had very blue eyes. These might have been pools that were a very dark blue or a beautiful blue, and she knew about them, and so he's tying in that reference of something that she knew in nature, saying, man, you got beautiful blue eyes. And he goes on, and then he talks about her nose and her head and her hair. What is he doing? He is telling her intimately, face to face, he's complimenting her, saying how beautiful she is. He is taking time and giving her details. Okay, men, say details. Okay, let's try it again. Details. Details, men, write down the word details, okay? Because you see, that's the difference between guys and gals. Men, we like headlines. Just give me a synopsis really quick. Women, they like the entire story. They want details. So guys, you need to engage in detailed conversation. You come home from work and she says, how was your day? Fine. What do you mean by fine? You know, it's a, you know what fine stands for? Fouled up, insecure, neurotic, and emotional. Yeah. A lot of times as guys, we don't want to go deeper, but we've got to go deeper. We need to be detailed with our spouse. And so when we engage in conversation, also realize if your wife is a stay-at-home mom, she really wants details pretty soon. But if your wife is a working woman, one of our guys in men's group talked about this the other day, just yesterday, but if your wife is a working woman and she's been dealing with people, or if she's a teacher, or you know, working with different, whatever it is might be, and all that, she's been talking and dealing with things, she might need some time. So you've got to read your wife, but she does need details. You've just got to read when in the day, as soon as you get home, when you need to take care of that, when you need to engage in conversation. We need face-to-face time. And I'm going to give you two ways in your notes of how to protect face-to-face communication. The first one is couch time. All right? This is really important when your kids are really little. Because so many times you come home and the kids come running, Mommy, Daddy, they want to see you. They haven't seen you all day. And the kids can take all of your time. And this is something Rebecca and I came across when our kids were young, that we would take either the first 10 minutes when I got home, or the first 10 minutes maybe right after dinner, we got things cleaned up, and we'd say, kids, go play in your rooms. We had them separate so they, you know, didn't start a fist fight. Go play in your rooms. Mommy and I, we're going to take some time to talk. And we'd set the timer on the stove for 10 minutes, and then we'd sit on the couch, and we'd have couch time. We would just talk. We'd talk about each other's day. And here was the interesting thing. When we did this regularly, we found that the kids had much less fighting and just bickering and arguing. And when we missed it, it was just like everything escalated in the house. It made a difference. When the kids, so many times as couples, we wait till we go to, the kids get to bed, then we talk. But if they don't see you connecting, don't see you having a relationship, it produces insecurity. But when they saw Mommy and Daddy sitting on the couch, they knew what we were doing, because sometimes they'd sneak out of the room. And we'd say, hey, we're on the couch, we're talking, if there's an emergency, and then we would teach them what an emergency was. You know, I gotta go potty, you know. Like that. But we would talk, it produced security in our home. And so couch time is a really valuable thing, especially if you have young kids. But it's a good practice even to maintain as you get older, because it's so easy to just to slip out of that intimate conversation. Another way to protect your communication is date night. Write that in your notes, date night. whether it's weekly or at the least every other week, bi-weekly, you need to get together and talk with one another. And date night, if you've been around for any period of time, you've heard me talk about the importance of date night and how Rebecca and I, almost faithfully, every week we go on a date. And only like if, you know, our kids had a swim meet or a football game or something that was on date night and we couldn't get to it, or maybe there was a ministry event taking place or family or friends were in town, that's the only thing that we would let cancel out date night. And if we missed one, and even now if we miss one, you know, we feel it a little bit, but you string them together, two, three, I don't know if we've ever gone four in a row, rare occasions, but I know we begin to feel a distance, a separation. There's something about going out every week, and a lot of times we like to go out for dinner, and I realize that can be expensive, so sometimes dinner is Wendy's in a $5 biggie bag, okay? Or maybe we'll split a burger or something. We like to split a burger, have a lighter meal at night instead of just gorging ourselves, but we go out and we just sit across from the table and we talk face to face. And that right there, I would say, has probably been one of the greatest things we've done to make our marriage abundant, because that's our theme for 2023 is abundance. We want you to have an abundant marriage. But date night, I cannot stress the importance of having a regular date night. And I know, like, when we had four kids, it was expensive for a babysitter. We could only afford every other week. Maybe if there's a couple you know and trust, you can tag team. You take our kids 1 week, you take the next, and just work things out like that. But I encourage you, implement a regular date night. That's how you protect face-to-face conversation. Driving your kids to an activity with them in the back seat and you're in the car, that's not face-to-face time, okay? Sitting on the couch with the TV, just talking as you're watching the boob tube, that's not face-to-face time, okay? Both of you being on your phones and you're talking while on your phones, that's not face-to-face time, okay? Put the phone in a drawer if you need to so you don't touch it in the other room, but you've got to look at each other face-to-face and talk. Guys, what's the word? The D word? Details. Yeah, you're doing good. You're doing good. And heart-to-heart, share your feelings and dreams, not just a business partnership. Okay, that's the first level of fun we need to have. It is what? Face-to-face, all right? Second kind of fun we need to have is what we call side-to-side, all right? We need side-to-side fun. This is where you're hanging out with your best friend and you're doing something that you enjoy with your husband or with your wife. It's a time where you're enjoying doing a common activity. Look at Song of Solomon, chapter 7, verse 10. It says, I am the beloved's and his desire is for me. So who's talking here? The wife is talking, okay? And she is saying, his desire is for me. And then look what she invites her husband to do. Come, my beloved, let us go out into the country. Let us spend the night in the villages. In other words, let's go on a weekend getaway. Let's have someone come and watch the kids. Let's leave them at home. Let's get out of town, get away from all the things that could distract us, from the phone that could call on us. Let's just go out for the weekend and do things. Go to different villages and go shopping. Go to different events, whatever are taking place, different festivals in these villages. Let's just go and hang out and do some things, spend some time together. Just as women crave face-to-face time, that's generally a main need for them, guys crave this side-to-side time, doing fun activities with their spouse. Willard Harley wrote a book called His Needs, Her Needs, and he surveyed hundreds of couples, and he had 10 different areas, and he said, what are your biggest needs? And it was interesting. There were, out of the 10 needs, guys generally had a top five, and women had a top five, and they were completely opposite of each other. Most of the time, they were opposite. And what we usually do is we try to fulfill our spouse's need by fulfilling our need, and we're not meeting each other's needs. The number two need for men was something Harley called recreational companionship. Recreational companionship. And is, you know, the lights are going out. That should be reserved for point three, okay? But yeah, you want to get a room for that one, so okay. And the thing I want you to notice here is that the husband initiated the face-to-face time. He saw what his wife needed, and he initiated that. But now when it comes to the side-by-side time, the wife initiated what the husband needed. And that's what makes a great marriage, when both husband and wife are looking, they're a student of their spouse, and they know what their needs are, and they're pursuing, they're in hot pursuit to meet those needs, the needs of their spouse, and not just be self-centered and think about themselves. In your bulletin, we have a handout. Take a look at this for just a moment. It's called Side-to-Side Fun Activities for Couples. There are several different couple activities here. This is adapted from Harley's book, the His Needs, Her Needs book. And it's two-sided. One is for the wife to fill out. The other is for the husband to fill out. And what you want to do is each of you fill this out separately. Circle as you're doing this by yourself, circle any activity that you enjoy. Husbands, what you enjoy, wife, what you enjoy. And by enjoy, it means some degree of pleasure. It doesn't have to be total excitement and delight, but hey, I would enjoy doing that, even if it's mildly, circle that. However, anything that you feel indifferent about or you have a negative feeling for it, that does not get circled. It doesn't make your list. Add any other activities that are not listed on here. And then what you do is you're going to take everything that the husband circled, everything the wife circled, put them on one list, and then you go through it and individually assign a value to it from a negative 4, which means I really hate it, to a positive 4, I really like it. When you are finished and you've done this separately, you've written down your rating, compare in any activity where both of you gave it a 1 or more, you gave it a positive value, that is now an activity that you can do in side-to-side time. It's a great thing to do on your date night. It's very practical. Generally, couples, when they walk through this exercise, they'll come up with 10 to 15 activities that they find they would both like to do, they both would enjoy. Even if it's a 1, you do it. And here's the thing, a lot of times it's like, I didn't know you liked that. And so you start to do something and you build more common ground, and it's a way for you to just have to invigorate your marriage with fun. Because here's the thing, it is so easy to fall into a rut and you do the same thing. You know what a rut is? It's a grave with both ends kicked out. And it is so easy in our marriages just to get in a rut. We do the same thing date night after date night, and it's like, you know, it's not that fun. It's predictable. So use this list to increase the fun factor in your marriage. Okay, let's review the two types of fun we've talked about. First of all, there is what? Face-to-face fun. Secondly, we have side-to-side fun. Okay, are you ready for number 3? Okay, number 3, belly button to belly button. Boy, that's really quiet in here. Can you say amen? Write that down, belly button to belly button, and say amen. Yeah, yeah, belly button to belly. I guarantee you're going to remember that. You're going to remember that. I mean, that's a unique way to phrase that. Let me break down belly button to belly button. We see it in Song of Solomon, chapter 7, verses 11 to 13. Come, my beloved. And remember, this is the wife speaking here. And that word beloved, it also means lover and friend, but it comes from a primitive root in the Hebrew language that means to boil. So what it is saying here, when she says, come my beloved, it's like, I look at you and, man, you're hot. You know, what happens when a pot boils? It smokes, right? She's saying, you're smoking hot, lover, beloved. That's what she sees. And she says, come, beloved, let us go out to the country, spend the night in the villages. We just talked about that was the side-by-side time. Look at verse 12. Let us rise early and go to the vineyards. Let us see whether the vine is budded and its blossoms have opened and whether the pomegranates have bloomed. There I will give you my love. In modern day language, what she's saying, let's go somewhere out in nature in seclusion and let's make love. That's what she's saying. That's what she's saying. Now, I don't recommend you doing that today, all right? Because number one, you'll probably get arrested. Or number two, someone might just come hiking along and they take out their smartphone and video and they put you out there for the whole world to see. So not a good thing nowadays, but she is saying, hey, let's not just do what we've always done. Let's find a new location. Let's kind of invigorate our lovemaking with some creativity. And it goes on to say in verse 13, the mandrakes have given forth fragrance. Over our doors are all choice fruits, premium fruits, really great things. Look at this. Both new and old, which I have saved up for you, my hot one, the one I'm boiling for, my beloved. What does it mean by new and old fruits? She says, honey, we're going to do some things that we've done before that were woo! But I've also got some new things in mind that we're going to try. Some new fruits that we've never done. There was creativity there. Now, I know some of you might be thinking, I find it really hard to believe that this is in God's Word, okay? That God approves of this. Friends, this is approved by God. This is inspired by the Holy Spirit. Good place for me. You guys are missing the amens today, I tell you. Take a look at Proverbs chapter 5, verse 18 and 19. This is what Solomon instructs his son. He says, may your fountain be blessed, and may you rejoice in the wife of your youth. Be married 20, 30, 40 years or longer, and the girl that you married when you were young, enjoy her even later in life. Be a one-woman man who enjoys that. Verse 19, as a loving doe and a graceful deer, may her breasts satisfy you always. Some of you might be saying, Pastor, did you read that correctly? Yes, I read that correctly. Did you know that was in the Bible? Some of you did. You know, some of you, guys, sometimes we think that applying Scripture, obeying the Word of God, is boring. Hey, that verse right there tells you that applying Scripture is a great thing to do, okay? Only for the husbands, though, all right? Rejoice in the wife of your youth, not your girlfriend. We're going to be talking about staying pure, commitment number 4, next week. And I love the last part. May you ever be intoxicated with her love. You ever see someone who's intoxicated? You know, it's like, whoa, yeah. I mean, they're just having a good, I mean, it's like, you are so enraptured with your wife. You don't want anyone else. But the thing is, what happens if you don't feel that way about your spouse? Well, one thing, seek the one with your two. Ask God to give you that desire. You pray about it together. God, restore what we've lost over the years, what we've let time and busyness erode. Seek the one with your two and make sure you're fighting fair, because when you don't fight fair, that just steals all the romance out. I mean, sometimes it's fun to kiss and make up, but why don't we just make up and kiss without having the fight in the first place? So I want to encourage you and challenge you to approach belly button time. And guys, you need to work on your approach. And my advice to you in your notes, work on your approach, okay? Use some romance in it. Bring home flowers, even just a single rose. Help your wife make dinner. Help your wife afterwards clean up the dishes as she's maybe at the stove or wiping the counter. Come up behind her, put your arms around her. Just tell her you love her, give her a hug, and then go on and just change your approach up. Here's what happens so much of the time. When guys show any kind of affection, the wife is thinking, oh boy, this is leading to the bedroom. Guys don't make affection always tied to hooking up. Okay? You need to make it a surprise so she doesn't know when it's coming. Okay? You want to lavish her with affection because that is also one of her top needs, is the physical touch, the physical affection, the talking. You see, sex for women is emotional. It's emotional. It's based on, and so if you've got this emotional connection, this relational connection, they want to engage in sex. For guys, and ladies, you need to realize this, this is how guys' minds are wired. Sex for guys is visual. That's how, when you can be getting ready for bed and he may see you, all of a sudden, honey, let's go. And you're going, what? You haven't been interested all stinking night and now you want to go to bed? That's because for a guy can be sexually aroused in seconds by what they see. Someone once said, women are like crock pots, men are like microwaves. Okay? And so, guys, you got to realize that. Hey, I'm trying to help your marriage here. We're being practical because you know what happens? We never talk about this stuff in church. We don't know how we're made. And so when we've lost that love and feeling with our spouse and someone at work starts pouring into my emotional needs and he talks to me and he gives me affection. Oh, he's so great. My husband's a jerk. Or there's that girl who's at the gym and she's really hot and we have a lot of fun and we joke together. Maybe she's better than what I've got at home because we're not investing in our relationship, we go outside, we don't stay pure, and we're not fail-proofing our marriages. We need to learn, we need to know how relationships work so that we can have a powerful marriage that's committed from this day forward. Amen. Ladies, what about your approach? You just need to make an approach, okay? Any approach, all right? Make an approach. Get a little romantic. Put together a romantic playlist on Spotify with some Ed Sheeran, some Taylor Swift, some love songs, some Sade. Put on Marvin Gaye and say, hey, honey, let's get it on. Hey, what, ladies, whatever you've got, it looks better in silk than it does in flannel. Okay? Invest in lingerie. Now, I know it's not that comfortable, but every once in a while, break it out. Surprise him. Have it on underneath, okay? We need to invest in our marriages because if we don't, we're going to end up losing our marriages. Some of you might say, man, we've got little kids. You know, we don't have any time. Put your kids to bed at 8 o'clock, okay? If you're just starting out with a family, put your kids to bed when they're young. Have your face-to-face time when they're awake, but put them to bed early so you can go belly button to belly button, all right? And if your kids are already staying up late, I just want to encourage you, what you do is go get that Dora Explorer video that you know goes for 30 minutes. You say, kids, here, let's watch this. You plug it in, run to the bedroom, shut the door, lock it, and say, honey, let's go. Come on, go, Diego, go. We got 30 minutes. All right? We're having fun, aren't we? Hey, the offering better be really good today, okay? You know, 9.5 months from now, we're going to have a lot of baby dedications. Some of you say, we've got teens. And they always want to come in at like 9, 10 o'clock when we're going to go to bed and they want to talk. So, and they interrupt us. But parents, if your teens stay up late, what does that mean? They get up late. So you get up early and schedule a morning rendezvous, okay? I'm being practically, I'm your friend, I want to help, okay? Have some fun. Have some fun. Okay, let me try to get serious here for these last few minutes as we wrap this up, okay? Ladies, generally speaking, how many of you would agree that men desire sex more often than women? How many would agree with that? Yeah, I think we can all agree that generally speaking, One of the greatest ways you can meet each other's needs is you lay down your own wants, your own desires, and say, I am going to serve my spouse. Ladies, you need to understand that when you're married, the only legitimate way for your husband to fulfill his sexual needs is through you. And so when you turn the faucet off and it dries up for him in that area, you are just opening the door and encouraging to go into another woman's arms. Don't do that. And if you have been fighting unfair as a couple, you've got to resolve your issues so that you can have fun, because it's really hard to have fun when you're fighting, you're not resolving things. Ladies, don't do that to your husbands. And men, realize that just as much you crave and desire and need sex, that's what your wife needs in the emotional department of the affection and the conversation. And when you don't give that to her, that causes her to look outside the home for someone else who will give that to her. And that's what the devil wants. The devil wants to steal, kill, and destroy fun in our marriage, so that as Christian couples, our marriages fall apart and the world looks at us and they say, well, man, they're just like the rest of us. If this God thing doesn't work for them, why do we want it? Why do we need it? Friends, Christian marriages should be the hottest, spiciest, most passionate, most close, most caring, most tender, most intimate of all relationships, of all marriages. People need to look at you as a couple and say, man, I wish I had what they had. Man, it's like, how do we get that? How do we get that? Well, you seek the one with your two. But on a more practical level, and here's the thing, somebody would be saying, man, I don't like what you're saying today, Pastor Craig. My husband's a jerk. I don't want to do that. I don't like that. What do you do if you've lost that love and feeling? Wrap it up in your notes. You start doing what you once did, and you'll get what you once had. You probably had fun when you first got married. Do what you once did, and you'll get what you once had. Some of you say, well, you don't know the issues we've got. Friends, do we serve an all-powerful God? With God, nothing is impossible. So God can give you back that love and feeling. Oh, that love and feeling. God can give it back to you. All things are possible with God. Nothing is too difficult for Him. And here's the thing, if the grass does look greener on the other side of the fence, you need to water your own yard. If you're saying, boy, there's this girl at the gym, or this girl that I work with, or there's this guy in my office, he's really good. If you have any feelings like that, you need to say, God, forgive me. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke that. And go home and start watering your yard. You need to work at the face-to-face, the side-to-side, the belly button to belly button, and begin to pursue God with your spouse and fight fair and say, we're going to fail-proof our marriage, because God wants you to have an abundant marriage from this day forward. Join me in prayer. Father, I ask today that your Spirit would minister life. You would bring life where there has been death. Death in marriages. I know you want us to have abundant life. You also want us to have abundant marriages. And so often it's so easy for us to get busy and forget, first of all, to enjoy you, God, and your goodness and your presence and your blessings and the blessings of relationships you give us and the blessings of our spouse. Forgive us, God, for neglecting to praise you and not enjoy all of the gifts you've given us. As you continue,
you have been listening to the podcast of Radius Church in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please check us out at radiuschurch.live or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation.